We're just going to wait about 2 more minutes to let more people log on, as we're still waiting for a few people who signed up to testify. And then after that, we're going to do a blessing that will be done by Kahiki Solis, who is our cultural historian. And then we'll have some introductory remarks by Dr. Alan Downer to begin the evening. So thank you. Just hold tight for a couple more minutes. Aloha Kako, good evening. I think we're gonna go ahead and get started. This is Dr. Tamara Luthi, the Shifty ethnographer speaking. And Kahiki Solis, our cultural historian, is going to give us a blessing to start this meeting, and that will be followed by comments from the Shifty administrator, Dr. Alan Downer.
Oh, ka uno ia e no I nei e li ane ho yo ka hiki mai a hiki mai no au ko a hiki puno me ke aloha. Aloha e I. Veli na mai. Mahalo.
Mahalo. Thank you so much. So now if we could turn it over to Dr. Alan Downer, who's with us tonight, the Shifty administrator. He had prepared a few words for us.
Thank you, Tamara. Aloha, everybody. I appreciate your being here. I am the State Historic Preservation Administrator for the Department of Land and Natural Resources. What we are doing tonight is continuing our effort to gather information that will help serve as the basis for the 5-year statewide historic preservation plan. This 5-year plan is a mandatory element required by our federal historic preservation fund grant, which is administered by the National Park Service. Appreciate you all taking taking time out of your evening to share your views here. We're looking for opportunities, things that you think we should be doing that sit out there awaiting, doing, issues that you think are problems, things that need to be resolved, and so on. So this is your opportunity to express your opinions, to give us your insights. We will collect all of this information from this and the prior public meeting, plus we've done a survey. All of that will be grist for the mill as we move forward. Principally, we're here to listen. This is your opportunity to speak, not for us to tell you what's what or what's gone on in the past, where we think we're doing well or badly, and so on. So, as again, I appreciate you taking the time. I have to apologize to everybody. I have to drop off this meeting fairly shortly, as I have to prepare some information for a hearing tomorrow. So, and with that, I guess I will turn it back over to Dr. Luthi, who will get things rolling. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Downer. He covered a little bit of what I was going to cover in this presentation. And for some of you folks who were here last time, this might be a bit of a refresher. There's a little bit more content, but this is mostly just to explain why we're here tonight and why your feedback matters. And then after that, we will go ahead and take public testimony for the individuals who signed up in advance. Then we're going to go ahead and do some breakout sessions on a few topics that were recommended by the National Park Service for providing feedback from community members. And then time permitting, we may go back and open the floor for additional testimony, but we'll just see where we're at that time. So let me just go ahead and share screen. Okay. Okay. So welcome to the second scoping meeting, the second public meeting for the Statewide Historic Preservation Plan. So as Dr. Downer already told us, this is a five-year strategic plan to help create goals for historic preservation in the state of Hawaii and inform the activities of SHPTI. And we need to complete this to maintain our good standing and receive federal funds from the National Park Service. So we're here today to bring together historic preservation professionals and interested community members to craft ways to better manage historic properties. So what we'd really like to do is think about historic preservation needs, priorities, goals, challenges, and opportunities. So historic properties include historic buildings, archaeological sites, burials, aviation artifacts, cultural landscapes, historic districts such as Chinatown Lo'i, fish ponds, heiau, and traditional cultural properties. So the statewide plan is required under the National Historic Preservation Act, Section 101B3C. So that is required for every SHPO that receives funds from the Historic Preservation Fund. And a statewide historic preservation plan is also required under Hawaii Revised Statute 6E35, which states that SHPTI will prepare, review, and revise a state historic preservation plan. So this is really intended to not just be a work plan for our division, but bring together people who are interested in historic preservation from a variety of different types of backgrounds and organizations. So people from different government agencies, interested community members, Native Hawaiian organizations, universities, and certified local governments are definitely intended to be part of the historic preservation process to draft goals and recommendations and objectives. So we're really seeking broad-based public and professional involvement, but we also want testimony from community members to help inform our goals. So the four overarching goals we had last time, which were broken down into sub-goals, were increase awareness, understanding, and support of historic preservation through the state, develop and maintain an inventory process supported by an easily accessible database of sites and associated geographic information system, increase the number of identified, protected, and properly maintained historic properties reflective of the diversity of the state, and strengthen the infrastructure for historic preservation in Hawaii. So where we are at right now is we're still in the scoping phase of developing the historic preservation plan. So we're still receiving input and taking that input into consideration. So what we're really trying to do is get an idea of the key community concerns and issues. So as Dr. Downer mentioned, we already sent out a survey to about 504 participants in September. And those participants were largely county and state government officials, cultural resource management professionals and firms, subject matter experts, Native Hawaiian organizations, non-Hawaiian cultural organizations, UH professors and students, and anyone who opted in. And we received about 93 responses, which is great. Additionally, we've had, I think, 13 historic preservation professionals who were interviewed for the planning process to give their mana'o, and then three meetings with the Kli'u Kapa'akai Collective's Kapuna Council. We presented at the Oahu Island Burial Council in January, and additionally, we've done open-ended interviews with about seven SHPTI staff, at least one person from each branch about key concerns and issues. And then, of course, as many of you know from having been here at the last meeting, we had another public meeting on January 15th, where I think we had about 25 people provide testimony, and I think about 75 total came. And I'd just like to remind that if anyone's not speaking right now, if you could please mute your mic. Thank you.
Yeah, I have it on my shoot. Yeah.
Okay, so the next steps will be to have additional topical community meetings to refine
our goals. Where are you at, Baby Beach?
Well, we plan on about two more meetings. Then we're going to present at the Society for Hawaiian Archaeology Board meeting. We're going to continue to reach out to key stakeholders and subject matter experts for more executive interviews. Create a draft statewide historic preservation plan by about May, and then present that to the Hawaii Historic Places Review Board for comment, as per the 6E. And then post an updated version of that to the SHPTI website for another 30-day comment period. And we hope to submit the final plan by mid-November.
You hear me now?
Could you please mute your mics if right now? Thank you. We'll be receiving testimony after this, but this is just an informational time. Thank you.
Lord, yeah, this money was a nightmare. The storm, they approved it.
Hi, Sophronia Jocelyn, could you please mute your mic?
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay. Oops, sorry. So a question was raised last time about our budget and how much of it came from federal funds and how much of it came from state funds. And this was according to the DLNR budget document. So according to this, in the 2021-2022 fiscal year, we received about $597,515 from the federal government, and our totally operating budget or cost was about $3,638,196. And we have 40 staff here. So as you can see, a lot of our budget actually comes down to staff members. So there are also questions about what we do and whether or not we are able to accomplish that within the legally mandated timeframe. So as of 2020-2021, about 80% of our projects were reviewed within the legally mandated timeframe, 95% of burials were responded to. And then you can also see how many projects of each type we reviewed. And again, this is publicly available information that you can find if you follow this link. If you want to find out more information about the National Park Service Grants Historic Preservation Planning Program and grants manual, you can go to this website. This is really useful. I'm not entirely sure who exactly at Park Service you would correspond with in this regard, but if you look at this website, you can submit comments as well. So there was a question too about our statewide inventory. And at the moment, the inventory is mostly collected via our review and compliance process. So as projects come in, historic sites are identified. But as a way of streamlining the development of our inventory and making sure that all of our documents are in one place, we have launched the HICRIS system, or the Hawaii Cultural Resources Information System. And that allows project proponents to submit their projects online, and it's all automatically connected to the GIS. And then I wanted to share this piece of excellent news, which we're really excited about, which is, one way to make our jobs a lot easier is if we have a statewide inventory where we proactively seek out all the sites in the state rather than waiting as project proponents put in their information. And so Senate Bill 2757 passed from the Water and Land Committee last week, which would allocate money for us to proactively go out and survey these types of properties. So that's really excellent. It would still have to go before the ledge for final approval, but yeah, and if you have questions about our GIS, you can contact Mike Wall. And of course, questions about, how quickly we respond, it's largely due to how much staff we have. But another piece of information that I wanted to share with everybody is that the governor's budget does allow for up to 15 new staff members. Now, this does still have to be approved, but if we were able to get these positions, I think that that would go a long way towards alleviating delays in responses. So also, if you have more specific comments or concerns about burial sites, there is a burial sites working group between SHPTI and OHA. That will provide recommendations to the legislature regarding EV component issues, and you're welcome to reach out to any of the people listed here to talk further about those types of concerns or ask any questions. We also have a rules revisions process underway for the archaeological inventory survey rules and looking at fines and fees, and you can reach out to any of these people regarding that, because that was something that came up last time too, is standards for archaeological inventory surveys. So as we discussed last time, you can always provide written comments as well, or written testimony. If you want to contact anyone at SHPD, this is our contact information. It's all on our website. And then this is the order of individuals who have already signed up to testify. So we will go ahead. Everybody will get 3 minutes to testify. And then you'll get a 30-second notification that you'll have 30 seconds left to testify. And then just wanted to quickly go through a little bit of housekeeping. So we welcome any kind of testimony as long as it's respectful. So just, you know, I think it goes without saying that no profanity or bullying or anything like that. You get 3 minutes to testify. And it's not because we don't value people's testimony or because we don't want to hear what people have to say. It's just in the interest of time, because, you know, we just want to make sure everybody who wants to speak gets a chance to speak and that we can accomplish all of our objectives tonight. So we ask that everyone rename themselves with your first and last name. And if you have an organizational affiliation, you can do that. So what you do is that you go to your name in the participants list. You click on more and there should be the option to rename. So this is particularly important if you want to go ahead and testify so that we know who's providing testimony. And so the chat function is meant mostly for signing up for public testimony. And so if you want a copy of the recording of the last meeting, it's available on our website under resources. It's broken up into three recordings because they're quite large in size. And then tonight it's set up so that there's automatic transcription occurring as we speak. And if you want to download that, you are able to do so. And yeah, that's all I have for tonight. So Kahiki, do you have the list of individuals who were able to testify?
I'm sorry, dear. I have Mana, Kaniloa, Johanna, and Claire Apana. So far, can you flash it back to the list again?
Sure.
Thank you, dear. So sorry for that.
Okay.
So Mana Caceres, if you're available, Mana, please. Okay, Elizabeth, and then C. Kau'i. John Cannon.
Kau'i is here.
And Allison Lewis.
Kau'i is here.
Mahalo. Okay, we're going to begin with, is that all we have, Dr. Luthi? Are we going to begin testimony now?
Yes, let's begin testimony in the order listed here.
Okay, Mana Caceres.
He may not be here tonight. He said that he might be out of the country. So, so just whoever is available in this order. Do you want me to leave this up on screen for now?
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, I don't think Mana is on, I don't see him. Is Mana Caceres online for testimony today? Okay, I don't hear Mana. So Mana will probably submit in writing. So we'll move on to Kaniloa Kamaunu. Is Kaniloa Kamaunu online to testify today, Kaniloa? I assume Kaniloa Kamaunu is not available to testify. They may submit written testimony or come to the next meeting. Johanna Kamaunu, are you available to testify, Johanna Kamaunu? All right. Johanna Kamaunu. Okay, right now I called Mana Caceres. If you are not Mana Caceres, Kaniloa Kamaunu, or Johanna Kamaunu, can you please mute? All right, so those three, Mana Caceres, Kaniloa Kamaunu, and Johanna Kamaunu, are not available to testify. Next up is Claire Apana. Claire Apana, are you online and available to testify today?
Quiet.
Claire Apana.
Oh my gosh, so I'm recording live on Instagram.
All right, I don't believe Mana Caceres, Kaniloa Kamaunu, Johanna Kamaunu, and Claire Apana are available to testify today. We're moving on. Claire Apana, one last time. Johanna Kamaunu, Kaniloa Kamaunu, or Mana Caceres. All right, moving on to Elizabeth Okinaka. Elizabeth Okinaka, are you available to testify today?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you quite well. Thank you, Elizabeth. You have your 3 minutes, dear. Please take your moment. Mahalo.
Thank you. Aloha. I was able to testify in the past meeting, but I also just wanted to reiterate, you know, I think the plan to have a public database would be amazing. You know, a site that would even be available to developers or possible land purchasers. I think a lot of the foreigners moving here, you know, aren't aware of these culturally significant sites on the land that they're considering buying. And a lot of them would probably walk away if they realized there was burials or heiau or, you know, any culturally significant sites on this land. You know, that's not saying all of them would, but it would also be a great resource for the community. You know, I have to do research myself. And what I've found is that a lot of these sites on the island of Kauai that are being, you know, referred to as inadvertent, you know, every month, inadvertent, but to us, you know, they're known cultural sites, they're less known family burial sites, but they're, you know, they're known amongst the community. And, you know, this term inadvertent, I feel, is just completely overused. Just by doing basic research on, you know, a lot of these areas, you can find registered burial sites almost on or near these direct sites. So, you know, having that readily available to more people who would be interested to research and, you know, figure out what was really there before, I think would be a great resource to the community. I think also I wanted to reiterate how difficult of a process it has been for our nonprofit on the island of Kauai. We have tried to file multiple burial registrations, lineal descent forms, you know, even been walked through it by ship the employees, this is how you do it. But, you know, everything is deny. We've been asked to, you know, submit documents like birth and death certificates from 16, 17, 1800s and things that just aren't available. So it needs to become an easier process so that these more of these sites can be preserved. And eventually we can all make, you know, those can be added to the public record so more people can be aware of these sites. You know, on the island of Kauai, we do have a conflict of interest within the Island Burial Council. So that's a big issue for us. You know, I think we need to restore the trust in the system, and SHPTI needs to do more to pull permits. Developers are using outdated EIS reports and they're taking advantage of loopholes. I have seen developers using EIS from 1970s. To like in this present day. So we need SHPTI to be able to step forward and be willing to pull these permits for these invalid EIS reports. Mahalo for your time. Aloha.
Mahalo for your, Elizabeth, for your testimony. The next person that will testify is C. Kau'i Jokanen. C. Kau'i Jokanen, are you available for testimony?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, but you got a reverb, so I think maybe turn off a computer or something that's reverbing.
Yeah, sometimes if you have two devices, then they will. Yes.
Maybe that's why. Okay, I'll turn off my computer. Just a minute so I can do that.
Okay, we'll wait for you.
Okay, thank you. Is that better now?
Perfect. Thank you. You have your 3 minutes. Please take your moment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Aloha, pehea kako. I want to express mahalo to Professor Tamara and Representative Regina Hilo and Ben for making it possible to deliver a testimony. Mahalo. I am Charles Kaui Yohanan Amsterdam, a Hawaiian Kanaka Maoli, and also representative and coordinator of projects for the Mauna Loa Foundation. Now, in terms of my testimony, inasmuch as there has been and is controversy regarding Hawaii state use and payments of crown lands, which are included in the list of lands for historic preservation, and we are in this plan also addressing concerns and issues, and that there are issues before the legislature brought by the Office of Hawaiian Affairs regarding the use and also fees for crown lands. It is requested that the current 2022-27 statewide historic presentation plan consider and take the following action. Number one, stop or postpone further advancement or action of the plan while past and current controversial issues are being addressed and resolved. Or number two, the plan address and resolve past and present controversial issues, which also include the following. These are issues also brought, as I mentioned, referred to previously before the legislature by the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. One issue, land use and associated fees for use of crown lands. Number two, eliminate and replace the words ceded land, which can mean or interpreted to mean give up or stolen lands, with the original words of crown lands. Number three, continuing without resolving the controversial issues, the title of the current historic preservation plan can be viewed as or replaced by the historic disposition plan, which we don't want to do. So therefore, accordingly and currently, it is proposed that also as the fifth or the fourth issue, Hawaiians or Kanaka Maoli, and also with the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, should assess historic properties, which include nine of the lands in, or areas included by the statewide historic planning division.
We can't take your call, but please leave your name and number.
Also, we have jurisdiction regarding these crown lands and to be able to determine the historic preservation planning for these lands, for such lands. That fourth issue, I think, is extremely important to have, be able to have jurisdiction over and to be able to decipher and to be able to assess which of these lands are crown lands, and to be able to make decisions, determine the historic preservation planning on such lands. Therefore, this is my testimony. I express appreciation again to the statewide historic preservation planning division. And also I say mahalo in our Hawaiian language and toda rabba in our Hebrew language, which our native Hawaiians are a part of if we go back in history. And aloha. Mahalo again and aloha. Bye now.
Mahalo. Mahalo for your testimony. Next we have Roslyn Nicole. Roslyn Nicole, are you available for testimony?
Aloha.
Aloha
ko, ko inoa manawa e kea, Roslyn Nicole manawa e kea, Malama Cummings. I'm here on the island of Kauai in the Ahupua'a of Kalaheo, and I'm here to speak on behalf of our identity and the desecration of our iwi kupuna and cultural significant sites. So this morning, I just want to bring this up into this meeting because it becomes a public notice that during our planning, Kauai Planning Commission meeting, they approved a 41 luxury home development in the area of the Koloa Ahupua'a over known cave systems. I had mentioned, and I'm going to mention it here, that there is a large reinterment in the Koloa Ahupua'a area of Kukuiola upon an agreement that was made previously. The Land Commission use took place in the 1970s, and pretty much everything that's happening in Kaloa right now with 21 developments, 21 up and coming developments happening down in Kaloa Aupua, is based on a 1970 land commission use EIS that was happening in the 70s. So no update was being made. In the meeting, they asked and mentioned about the Kapa'akai analysis being placed, but because the permits had already been processed, and I believe Alan Downer had submitted a stipulation into the planning for this 40 units, there's 50 units that are upcoming, and I want to make this known to you guys that in the 50 units that are upcoming that they are sitting on, not just approved yet, there is the burial site of Ka Makahele, also Akahi Kavalu. And so Ka Makahele in the time, she is the mother of Kaeokulani, I'm sorry, not Kaeokulani, Kalamai, of Kamuali'i, our last reigning king of Kauai. In her time, no one really messed with her because she had the gift of fire. She could set people on fire without touching them. So I just want you guys to kind of imagine what would happen if her Ivi is desecrated. And so this is why it's very important for identity to be made amongst Kuowai Pai Aina, because many of us will come from her, being that Kamoli had 21 wahine who he had children with. And so I'm asking SHPD to step in and take into my request when I submitted a bearer registry for her to make sure that she's protected, and it still haven't gotten a reply from you guys yet, and it's been 7 months. Another thing is George Humehume. I'm trying to figure out the documentations that was made via email through OHA, and SHPD was communicated, I seen the email, of a va'a with burials inside back in 2015, and it got covered up. So please, if you guys can guide me, and we can work together and figure these things out, I'm going to try and get back on, because there's a lot more to cover here on Kauai. Mahalo.
Mahalo nui for your testimony. Okay, we have next coming Allison. Is she the last person registered, Tamara?
We had Keo Mailani Hanalei Hirata wanted to also testify. Okay. And then I believe what we can do is after that, we will have gone through everybody who RSVP'd to testify. Then we can maybe take more oral testimony until about 7. And then at 7, we can go into the breakout rooms and answer some of these questions. We did have some suggestions last time to make this more interactive. So this is a means of trying to get some good conversation going with people on some of the types of questions that National Park Service wants us to ask of community members, and give you a chance to talk to each other about common concerns. Again, we will keep the floor open for additional testifiers until about 7 p.m. and then we'll go towards the breakout sessions. So how's that? How does that sound to everybody?
Okay, so Allison will be next, and then Keo Mailani Hanapi. And those are the end of the people that registered. And then the chat will be open. So if you wish to testify, please register your first and last name in the chat that you want to testify. So all of those that wish to testify, please register in the chat your first and last name. Thank you so much. Okay, we're continuing on with Allison. Allison, are you available to testify?
Aloha, hi.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for hosting this, and thank you to all the people that just testified. Everybody's being so polite and calm. It's awesome. My opinion is that SHPD needs to please do the work to make every burial site and every cultural site a registered protected site. In my opinion, that should be SHPD's kuleana. It shouldn't wait until an individual files or registers or applies to have a place protected. If any existing map shows even a papuhaku, a heiau, a lava tube, a cave, or a burial, SHPD should immediately be registering it for protection. And SHPD should have a policy that says, upon discovery of a new site, whether it's a rock wall, a burial, or anything, the site will be immediately protected from further harassment of any kind between the time of discovery to the time it's officially registered as a protected historic site. In my opinion, it is patently insane that plantation era beach homes and boss houses are protected on this island while Hawaiian burials and cultural sites are still moved and dug up and built on top of. In my opinion, we should have the power immediately under SHPD to pull all permits where there are any known cultural sites or burials. There shouldn't be any grandfather clauses that let a previously approved permit continue to build once somebody has expressed outrage about the cultural desecration and the burial desecration. These are things that we want to count on SHPD for. Those of us who survive and live by planting and fishing and feeding chickens and pigs, we don't have computers and we don't have secretaries or desks and we cannot attend every meeting. Please let us count on you to just do pono. Mahalo.
Mahalo for your testimony, Allison. The last registered testimony will be Keomailani Hanapihirata. Keomailani, you have the floor, dear.
Aloha. Keomailani Hanapihirata, coming from the island of Molokai. You know, from the last meeting to this meeting, a lot has been talked about Iwi Kupuna. And, you know, as Indigenous people, we are born with the kuleana to carry on our traditional and customary practices. And the protection of our Iwi Kupuna is a kuleana. So, you know, I support what everybody gave testimonies and, you know, the struggle is real and throughout all of our islands in Hawaii. I wanted to touch a little bit more on something else because I didn't want to repeat what all of my Kanaka brothers and sisters said across the islands. When I guess you guys are talking and developing this plan, one of the most hardest things is I understand you guys are asking for more monies for staffing. Like I keep hearing that all the time. Oh, we need more staffing. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough this. We don't have enough that within the State Historic Preservation Office to address everything. I don't necessarily think it's a staffing problem. Honestly, from my viewpoint, I believe it's a structure of the policies and procedures within the departments. Everybody doesn't seem to have an awesome like or one good flow. And there needs to be one link that connects everybody. It's just like Punanaleo is preschool. Then you get Kaiapuni, which is elementary. Then you get Keakee, I mean Kuluvaina, then Keakee, so you get high school, middle school, high school. You know, there's a flow that goes together. Your guys' departments all don't seem to talk to each other. And as I review environmental assessments or environmental impact assessments from years ago to present day, and they list the Department of Land and Natural Resources on there, your folks is whoever in the department in DLNR and SHPD, you folks receive these reports. And it seems like when an investigation comes up of anything, whether a desecration of a historical site or desecrations of burial sites, when we bring up, oh, there is these environmental assessment reports, it seems like everybody behind the scenes in the State Historic Preservation Office needs to go find out where is all of these reports. There needs to be one better system within the archives in the library at the State Historic Preservation Office, because supposedly, you guys are the keeper of our records. You know, I don't necessarily agree that the state of Hawaii should have it, and but that's my own opinion. However, you folks are supposed to have all of this readily available, people and staff to know where to look for certain things. So that's kind of like where I'm at. Also, when you guys SHPD created these descendancy claim applications, I think you folks need to give monies to expense to help the people to fill out these applications, whether it's getting the birth, marriage, death certificates, whatever it is. I think there needs to be a better process in that. And that's pretty much it. Mahalo. Take care, everybody. Aloha.
Okay, mahalo for your testimony. Next we have to testify will be Simi McMichael. Simi. You have 3 minutes. Simi McMichael. Simi McMichael, I see you there. Are you okay? Are you able to unmute yourself? Okay. Simi, are you available to testify?
Simi says in the chat, cannot unmute. So let me try check that. Hang on.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay, great. Yes, we can. Thank you so much.
Oh, mahalo. Yeah, this is my first time to testify with you, and I've listened just now to the several about, you know, preserving the Iwi Kupuna. I'm from Big Island, Kailua Kona. I have the first surf shop in Kona since 1978. I'm Kanaka Maoli, born in the territory of Hawaii. I have a surfing association called West Hawaii Surfing Association, and it was established in 1986 to preserve our surf for the next generation. So it's been a long battle here, but surfing is a sport of the Hawaiians. And all of Ali'i Drive, I live on Ali'i Drive. There's so much mana here. And I've learned throughout the years as I'm stopping development and learning about all the archaeology and the history. And being that it's King Kamehameha I, King Kamehameha III, and King Kalakaua, they all surfed on Ali'i Drive. And there are several, many good surfing spots. And it goes from Kahalu'u District, which is on the National Registry and the state. And in that document, I really highlighted that it has supernatural factors. And I would like to see all of Ali'i Drive into preservation in respect for the Wahipana of surfing. And just in a month ago, they honored Tom Morey, who invented the boogie board. Now they put a plaque, his picture, everything, and made a whole ceremony. And that's all great. I know Tom. He used to come into my surf shop and show me all his inventions. But, you know, I take it further that we should put all of, you know, there's so many important sites, and there's even the wahine, it's Keolanahihi and Keakealani wahine. They were surfers. And I would really, really like to see Shipti step in and expand this historic registry and make this entire area, because it was important for canoeing, for fishing, for surfing, and also for cultural landscape. You know, we need the parks and we need to preserve it, because all of this area was the most important farming. The land is very special. The Wai comes from the Mauna Kea, so underneath it waters everything. And so you can plant all your rooted plants, kalo, pineapples and ulus, and it will grow. I mean, Kahalu has the largest archaeology site ever found in the state of Hawaii. People don't know this, but we need to preserve further down Pohoihoi, La'aloa, and Keakealani Wahine is very important. And with the way that the land is being bought by the COVID, and people are just tripling the value here. It's really hard. We need all the Hawaiians to protect this area and put it fast forward in this next 5 years. Mahalo.
Nice going,
Jimmy. Mahalo, Simi, for that. Mr. Cawthorn, yeah, thank you for muting. We have other people that are testified in the chat. There are other people in the chat that are going to register for testimony. And so if you wish to speak, please register in the chat your first and last name. The next testifier we will have will be Lorraine Mina Toishi. Lorraine Mina Toishi. Are you there, Lorraine, to testify?
I am. Thank you very much. I'm an architect and a historic architect here on Oahu. And I have noticed that the counties, such as Maui County, Kauai County, really suppress preservation. The State Historic Preservation Office was very good to support our grant application for CLG funding to document the Koloa District as well as Father Damien's church on Molokai. However, both of these grants, although it went all the way through, the National Park Service signed off, State Historic Preservation signed off, when, and then it went to the CLG, they were, and even so the individual commissioners signed off on it, when it went to actually becoming a project with the counties, they were denied. They said, we don't need this. Goodbye, too bad for you. So I think, you know, the county governments have to really get on board, and not sure how to make that happen, but definitely they are rejecting all of the grant funding. Now, the other thing is that the State Historic Preservation Office also needs to have a staff person who will read the EIS and the EA reports. Right now, there's nobody that can do that. So it does go through the EIS process. However, SHPD is not able to read those, cannot respond to them timely enough so that by the time it gets to the actual building permit process and they're responding to the permit, it's quite far along. It's not really fair to the developers and owners at that point as well. It's very difficult to respond at that point sometimes. So those are the things I wanted to point out. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Lorraine, for your testimony. Okay, the next person that we have is Hi'iaka Jardine. Hi'iaka, are you available?
Yes, okay. So okay. Aloha, thank my name you. Is Hi'iaka Jardine. I'm a co-founder of Kaya Ulu o Kahalu'u, which is a grassroots community organization in the Aupua of Kahalu'u on Oahu. And we've been spearheading this steward initiative to steward the historic Kahalu'u Lo'i, which is located in the Ili of Ahuimanu. And it is one of three SHPD properties. It's, according to the National Historic Register, it's the largest intact terrace Lo'i system on Oahu and the best example of Native Hawaiian expertise in this type of engineering. And so there's been some challenges, and it's the first time I've ever worked with SHPD. And I think some of the things that I've learned is that there for sure is a lack of staffing, and maybe to support that, you guys could get some interns from the University of Hawaii. I've been to the SHPD library, and I've been to the office, and I've seen how many stuff is in boxes there. Maybe interns could come and start scanning some of that stuff for you guys, because a lot of the documents pertaining to this particular site were in boxes, and so I wasn't able to access them. Another thing is that some Honolulu-based institution had applied for stewardship of this site through a curatorship application, and they did not discuss any of their initiatives or motives with the community. And so it was just kind of by chance that I found out that they were seeking stewardship at the same time that I was. So maybe it should be a requirement that there's some kind of process of
like broad community support when people want to steward these types of spaces, whether it be through the neighborhood board, which I am a board member for Kahalu'u. They did not come to the board. And then also, I just got word that per the Deputy Attorney General, that SHPD was advised to create a long-term stewardship agreement for this site. We just got permission to start community work days there. And it was kind of caught us off guard that this was being drafted and we weren't being consulted in this process, because in our efforts to be stewards of this space, Senator Keokalole was involved, Rep. Kitagawa was involved. We had Ko'olau Poko Hawaiian Civic Club, Ahamoku. And so given all of these different interactions that we went through to get to this place in stewardship, why wouldn't we be included in a long-term stewardship agreement? And I've been asking for that language for 2 weeks now. And so I just had to ask Ahamoku today for that. So hopefully we're able to have access to that. I see I have 15 seconds left. I have more to share. So I'm gonna end my testimony here and then ask for a second round. Mahalo.